Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with our Lenten journey toward the joys of Easter. And this is the second Sunday. We are still being guided by our Lenten motto, repent and believe in the gospel. As we strive to believe in the gospel, let us meditate on the word of God for this Sunday. In the first reading, God tells Abraham, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I'll make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. With these words, God intervened in the history of mankind. He chose someone who would become the father of a people, a nation through whom salvation would come to the world. And that nation is Israel. Abraham lived in Mesopotamia, a land made fertile by very large rivers. It was by that time the wealthiest and most developed area in the world. But God calls Abraham to leave this land. I believe Abraham must have found it hard to leave this country and the family of his father and head off into the unknown toward the land probably inhabited by unfriendly people. But Abraham believed and let himself be led and guided by God. He trusted the caller who had promised him land, prosperity and blessing. As usual, God kept his promises to Abraham, for from him he arose a great nation, Israel, a people who was to be the sign of the future gathering of all nations, including ourselves. The culmination of this blessing is Christ himself, the Paschal mystery and Savior of the world. My dear brothers and sisters, like Abraham, who did not hesitate to abandon his good land, we are asked to abandon the life that had given us false security. We are called to abandon our old life, especially in this season of Lent, the life of sin that probably had given us some satisfaction or a certain tranquility, leisure, but without real happiness. And should allow God to enter into our life and break up this false peace and give us a life full of joy and tranquility. Also, like Abraham, we have to trust in the promises of God, to trust that God will listen to our prayers, no matter how long it takes, because God always keeps his promises and is the one who said, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." So as he did with Abraham, God will do to us if we place our trust in him. In the Gospel, St. Matthew gives an account of the event of the Transfiguration. And each year, we hear the same Gospel on the second Sunday of Lent. He starts by telling us that Jesus went to the mountain to pray. There is something important to note here. Whenever Jesus was about to do something important, he went up the mountain to pray. For instance, when he was tempted by Satan, he was on the mountain fasting and praying. And this is the gospel which we heard last Sunday. And when he was proclaiming the Beatitudes, he was on the mountain. That's why it is called the Sermon on the Mountain. The multiplication of bread was done on the mountain after Jesus had prayed and given thanks to his Father in heaven. And now the Transfiguration takes place on the mountain. So in numerous occasions, Jesus is reported to have gone for prayer on the mountain, on the isolated place. Why did he do that? A mountain is an elevated topography, as we know. So by going there, Jesus wants to teach us that whenever we want to pray, we should move above all three distractions. We should isolate ourselves from any inconvenience. We should free our mind from any undesirable thought and focus our attention to God. We should go to the mountain. On the mountain of Transfiguration, from the cloud, a voice said, "This is my Son, the beloved one, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." So this was the voice of God the Father sounding from heaven. So God invites us to listen to his son, Jesus. We must listen to the word of God, and not only to listen to it, but to allow it to transform our lives. We must have communion with Jesus Christ, a communion which is realized through prayer and the reception of sacraments. And we should also commit ourselves to building the kingdom of God by promoting the values of charity, justice, and peace. Also, to listen to Jesus means to respond to his call to transform our hearts and our will, to make an interior transformation which lasts forever, as opposed to exterior transformation, our external appearance. Holiness has its transforming effects in us interiorly. It refines us. It glorifies us, just as sin disfigures and degrades us. Inward excellence is the source of outward beauty. Selfishness, envy, pride, etc., will make us inwardly ugly. The good thoughts we nurture, the good feelings that we try to have, the good spirit that animates us, the good character that we form interiorly beautifies us, adorns our hearts, and makes us attractive before God. This is a kind of transformation that God wants us to achieve in this season of Lent. Just a final remark. As Jesus was praying with his Father, Matthew tells us that his face changed. He was veiled in a glory and splendor which is beyond explanation. Seeing this type of glory, Peter suggested that they build 3 shelters. Why? It was out of desire to prolong forever the joy he had experienced during that moment of intense prayer with his master. That's why he said, let us build 3 shelters here. And Jesus allowed these 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John, to accompany him so they could have a foretaste of the heavenly glory into which Jesus would enter after his passion, which would also be theirs after they had partaken of the same chalice of the passion. Let us build 3 shelters here. In other words, he was saying, let us stay here forever. He was not willing to go back to his former life. So a reminder to us, after God has called us from sinful life, after he has washed away our sins through the sacrament of reconciliation, after we have abandoned our bad habits, after we are transformed and transfigured after the example of Christ himself, we should not be willing to go back to our former life. Let us strive to stay in the state of grace. Let us build 3 shelters there. May God bless your desire to build shelters there. Amen.